Good morning and welcome to worship at FPC, everyone. We're going to begin our service with a prelude.
And welcome to the First Parish Church of Stowe-on-Acton, FPC, to our family, our members and friends, and our larger community. We are a welcoming spiritual community. My name is Sharon Brownfield, and I serve on your Board of Trustees. Reverend Cindy Landrum is our minister. Just wanted you to know, very timely, we just observed Endangered Species Day, May 15th. And we're going into the week of biodiversity, which is May 20th through 30th. So very appropriate for us to celebrate animals. If this is your first time with us, we welcome you. We invite you to check out our webpage, fpc-stowe-acton.org. for news and information, you can always sign up there for our newsletter and email alerts called FPC Announce and for our email forum, the FPC Forum. The signups are fpc-stowe-acton.org/subscribe/newsletter. For those of you who are Zooming in with us, we have taken precautions to avoid disruption. So some features are turned off. If you'd like your joy or sorrow to be read, you can send your joy or sorrow to me before the time of joys and sorrows in the service in the chat. Following the service, for those joining us by video or phone, you're going to be invited to join us for virtual coffee hour, where we will arbitrarily put you in small groups of 4 to 6. Other people who can chat with, which everybody has really enjoyed. Our virtual coffee hour discussion groups will last about 15 minutes. Those in our parking lot are invited to get out of your car, smell the fresh air, and chat with each other at the end of service. But we do ask you to maintain a social distance of at least 6 feet, wear masks, and that you do not gather in groups larger than 10 on any side of the building. Reverend Cindy will also invite you to honk horns at the end of the postlude. Children are welcome in our service today. For more information on religious gatherings and events, please contact our Director of Religious Education, Michelle Cote. And important, here are some announcements. Our FPC building is closed from now through the summer, and the board assesses our timeline regularly and will send out information. If you need to enter the building for any reason, please check with Reverend Cindy or our board president, Katie Weeks. Many communities and groups and adult programs are meeting by Zoom, and please check with your committee or your group for further details. And watch announcements on FPC Announce and the FPC Forum. You can sign up for both on our website. Remember, I said that earlier. Our annual meeting will be held Sunday afternoon, May 31st. There will be several emails coming out and how we're going to work it, so please pay attention. For today's service, if you would like your screen name to have your pet's name on it, the ability to change your screen name has been enabled. If you need help, message one of our hosts, Hector Gonzalez or Jenny Egerton. After the service today, there will also be an opportunity to stay in the main Zoom room instead of the breakout rooms if you wish to discuss our climate change task force resolution about committing the church to working towards net zero. With that being said, now let's all come together in the spirit of worship. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Cote. I serve as the DRE at our church. And I have a blessing for all animals today. It's a blessing in all directions by Donna Walhart. And before we start, I would like you to hold in your hand, literally, your animal that you love, or to hold a picture, or to hold in your mind an animal that has passed, or an animal that you really care about that might be endangered in our world. We look to the north and see hardy caribou, noble elk, the husky rolling in snow, the salmon struggling upstream to spawn, the deer whisking its tail with elegance. We look to the south and watch the alligator measuring the pond, the armadillo turning his armor to the world, the wings of a pelican, wood stork, heron catching the low, warm air streams. To the west is the rimeyed panda, the yak, the kiwi, the koala nestled in the fork of a blue gum tree, the take-charge kangaroo and wallaby, leaping to attention, balancing the world on thick tails. The red earth of the east is the setting for the stately parade of giraffe, elephant, gazelle, fringed lion, svelte tiger, portly hippo, all staking a claim for their home on the continent. We look nearer to home and glimpse the curious Persian cat, the faithful Labrador, the regal quarter horse, content goldfish, clever hamsters and guinea pigs, the reptile appreciating the friendship. As we finish taking inventory, we send up a prayer of thanksgiving for those blessed animals who reflect all of creation and who share with us this air, this water, this dust.
Our first hymn today is We've Got the Whole World in Our Hands, which mentions a whole bunch of different animals. So we hope that when you sing along with us, if you've got one of those animals with you, you can hold one up or hold it in your hands. I wanted to say that our hymns today are going to be accompanied and sung by members of our FPC Eucatarians group, along with some members of our local area ukulele group that contributed audio and video files for us today. So I hope you enjoy those hymns. The words are in your virtual order of service, and please join in singing.
Thank you so much, Eucatarians. That was wonderful.
From all that dwell below the skies, let words of love and peace arise. Let joyful songs of praise be sung.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see all your faces and see all the faces of our furred and feathered and scaly friends. I'm so glad to have you all here today. We thought it might be difficult to have us all name all of the animals that are here with us today. After all, we do have 96 people in the room at least. And that doesn't even count the number of people sharing screens. And we probably have around that many animals. So what I'm going to do is invite you to share the names of your animals in the chat box, those of you who are on Zoom, as we call out that type of animal. And we're going to begin by blessing one type of animal at a time. I'm going to begin with cats because I think they are some of the wiggliest animals and least patient about being held here today. So like, we'll name the animal, you can type their names, and then I will say a blessing for that group. And then at the end, after we do all the pets with us, we'll do stuffed animals, and then we will do the endangered animals. And then after all those live animals have been blessed, we'll have a special time for remembering those animals that have passed. And at that time, I will ask you to unmute your microphones and share their names with us. So beginning with all the cats that are here today, hold them up to the screens if you can, if they'll put up with that or hold their pictures up. I'm seeing lots of them. And I'm going to pause for us to scroll through and see some of these names and to see some of the pictures. I'm going to read some of the names. I probably won't read all the names here, but we have in the room today Seal, Wednesday, Dakota, Minerva, Nacho, Tiberius and Alex, Mo and Perry, Gracia, Elizabeth the Cat, Jake, Mercury and Loki, Clover, Pixel and Kismet, Tiger and Tennessee, Cloud and Tifa, Pete, Ling, Max, Charlie and Ozzy, Prince Oliver, and in memory of Lily and Jacques, and Pete and Janie and Luke and Sapphire and Cleome and Sochi and Caruso, Hudson, Gone But Not Forgotten, Elizabeth, Autumn, Jake, Moxie, Juno, and Georgie, Slinky, Puma, and the Clouds, Lucy, Lulu, and Oliver, Ted, and Nikki, and all the other cats. We send blessings to you today. Bless our feline companions and those who care for them. May they be blessed and held in the loving arms of the universe. And may they be healthy, loved, and cared for. Blessed be. And now let's do our canine companions. Type their messages, and I'm going to put a little place marker here in the chat box so that I remember where we are. And please share their names with us. And I'll also give you a moment here to scroll through some of their names and see them. Oh, and Bella the cat, we missed in the last group. Some of our canines are Snickers, Pearl, Merlin, Yoshi, Freddy, Fredsta, Zoe, Luna, Leo and Nora, Harley, Kylie, Neville, Nacho the dog, Sugar, Teddy, Owen, Jack, Teddy again, Autumn, she acts like a cat but she's a dog, Flicka, Beacon, My Heart, Murphy and Bisbee, Lucy Goosey. And I know that we have more dogs in the parking lot as well, and maybe their names can't be typed, so we send out love to them as well. We've hung some bandanas on the doorknobs so that dogs in the parking lot can have a little extra blessing today. Flicka, Ella, to all these and our other canine companions. Bless our canine companions and those who care for them. May they be blessed and held in the loving arms of the universe, and may they be healthy, loved, and cared for. And now, next, we're going to ask to bless our birds and feathered friends and amphibian friends, fish and scaled and reptiled friends. Share their names and hold them up to the screen, too, if they're able to be. So, I mean, I'm not asking you to bring the whole fish tank up to your Zoom screen, but if you have a little lizard or something who wants to be shown off, this now is their opportunity to. We send blessings out to Screeble, to Crawdaddy the crayfish, to Oliver Lafayette the snake, to Jax the macaw, to Tansy the dragon, and Zephyr the bird, to Bertilak the turtle, to the Leadwell fish tank, to the Budgie's ham and burr. Bless our feathered and scaled and amphibian and fish friends, all of these little creatures that bless our lives. May they be blessed and held in the loving arms of the universe, and may they be healthy, loved, and cared for. Blessed be. And now, do we have any small mammals like rats and mice and ferrets and hamsters and guinea pigs? Share their names with us and hold them up if you'd like them to be seen, if they're amenable to that. Gerbils. Oh, look at that. I see Thea. Oh, look at those guinea pigs. They're so cute. I see Eliza and Thea, Marshmallow and Ping Pong. Those are such cute names. Cutie and Barney, who live with a sister and brother-in-law's yard. Harley and Hazelbug, the rabbits, the hedgehog, Gus. Blessings to all of you critters. Blessed be our small mammal furry companions and those who care for them. May they be blessed and held in the loving arms of the universe, and may they be healthy, loved, and cared for. Blessed be. Do we have other large mammals here today that we haven't named? Like, and if, or out in your fields, if you have sheep or cows or horses or other goats, anything else you want us to bless today? I don't see any on the screen at the moment, but we'll send blessings to them anyway. Blessed be our four-legged companions and those who care for them. May they be blessed and held in the loving arms of the universe. May they be healthy, loved, and cared for. Blessed be. Any animals I missed that you want to make sure we send blessings to me to today? Oh, we have the Malin chickens and the Francine Farm horses and goats mentioned. And did I say Terrence the rabbit earlier? We send blessings to all of them. Any other animals that need blessings today? Yeah, we're going to do the stuffed animals next. So your favorite stuffies, especially the little kids here today, if you have stuffies that need blessings, that if, especially if they're getting worn out or losing an eye or have a hole in their side that needs stitching. Oh, look at that cute stuffed frog and that unicorn. We're going to have a reading in a few minutes from the Velveteen Rabbit, but it reminds us that these, while they are not living and breathing animals in the same way, these fuzzy companions can be very important in our lives. They can bring us comfort. They can bring us joy. They can be something that we snuggle with in times of sorrow. So bless our fuzzy companions and those who love them. May they be blessed and held in the loving arms of the universe. May they be well stitched. May they be loved and cared for. Blessed be. And we wanted to remember that all the animals of this earth are sacred, important, and some of them are at risk right now in a world that is overpopulated. Before we go to those, let me name some of the other things that have shown up in the chat. We have Big Blue Bear and Bill the Frog and Duke the Dog, Stuffed Seals, Rabbit, Mr. Sparkles, the professional unicorn, the Red Wolves mascots of Arkansas State University, Wolves Up, Marshmallow Fluff, the chickadees in the birdhouse outside a window, Ducky Love, Rose's stuffed animals, Sky and Hannah, Flora, Bunny Butts, Coda, the stuffed frog forever relying on God. See, that's frog, forever relying on God, who reminds me to do that. Monkey, Logo the stuffed kitty, and Baby Yoda and Go-Go Kitty, and Koya the bear. So now a time to remember endangered animals. In a world where so many of them are at risk, and this world is overpopulated, that's warming, that has decreasing habitats and has introduced predators into areas where they weren't native and so on. If you have an endangered animal you want us to raise up, please do type those in the chat box and hold up their pictures if you've brought those as well. For the bees, the bumblebees, the wild tigers, sapo, Hawaiian honey creepers, Siberian crane. For the elephants, for the bats, for the only 111,000 giraffes left in the wild, for the right whales, the sea turtles, the white rhinos, all the rhinos, the bats again, the white tigers, the animals in Australia, all the animals of Australia, the Siberian tigers, all the great apes, the bees that pollinate most of our food, turtles, polar bears, butterflies, frogs, humpback whales, hippos. May these animals of the earth be protected. May they have the resources they need for survival, the food and water and habitats they require. And may they be blessed as animals that make up this interdependent web which we are a part of. Polar bears, insects of all kind, narwhals, people are continuing to list those important endangered animals that we want to lift up today. There are a lot of different organizations online that you can give to support the Kakapo, all these different endangered animals that are listed. I want to say that things we can do in our area include putting up bat houses to create more bat habitat spaces for the bats, and planting milkweed to create monarch areas. And there's like a National Monarch Registry that you can list your monarchs in and help track the monarchs in our area. Not cutting dandelions, I'm told. Fireflies. For all these animals, we lift up blessings and thanks and ask that they be protected, that they have the resources that they need. And now we're going to turn to a time to remember our past companions, especially right now, whether you've lost your animal during this time of isolation or before it. This time it can be particularly hard to not have those animals that we've loved, their companionship that comforted us and that brought us companionship during this time of isolation. So we're going to have a few minutes here for you to unmute yourselves and share the names of the animal companions you've lost this year, or even a little bit longer if you haven't had a time to really share that loss before. So we're going to change your microphone settings so that you can share at this time.
Alex, the Golden Retriever.
Max, Maggie, Alex, and Marco.
Schnapps, the Schnauzer.
Alex, the Golden Retriever. I'm sorry, yeah. No, Rusty the Golden Retriever.
Joey the Cat. Ooh. Lillian Jacques, who came from California with me.
Panda the Labradoodle.
Jordan McGarvey and Cupcake, my two cats who passed in 2014.
Crosby the Shetland Sheepdog.
Lizzie the Kitty.
Midnight, Wheezy, and Buttons. The cats.
Our dogs, Corey, Sunny, and Nikki, who passed on and hopefully are together, and our cats, Mr. Lou and Digger.
Ann Walker's, Belle.
Tux and Peaches.
They Buddha, our Colombian boa.
I get messages also about Jane Shack's Uncle Bill's dog, Penny, and the Chin's family, Slinky, their cat. Any other animals that we want to remember today? We are grateful for these beloved companions that we've named today. We give thanks for the times that they were with us, for the companionship they offered and the love they offered, for the walks and the snuggles and the playful moments. We remember them with love and with gratitude now that they have crossed the Rainbow Bridge. Blessed be. And amen. Some more cats and animals we lift up today. Penny the cat, Ann Walker's Walter, the foster kittens, Ferret, Lash, Billy, Knight, and Dreamer, Monster the Fish. Again, we give thanks for the time that they were with us, for the companionship and love that they offered. Blessed be. Amen. My sister's dog, Lana, that died about a week ago, left eye, the fish. All these creatures that touched our lives, that made our lives more complete, more wonderful. The past cat, Frosty, who we remember with gratitude today for the times that they were with us in our lives. We're now going to have a reading from The Velveteen Rabbit by Marjorie Williams, and this will be read by Marcia Rising.
There was once a velveteen rabbit, and in the beginning, he was really splendid. He was fat and bunchy, as a rabbit should be. His coat was spotted brown and white. He had real thread whiskers, and his ears were lined with pink sateen. On Christmas morning, when he sat wedged in the top of the boy's stocking, with a sprig of holly between his paws, the effect was charming. There were other things in the stocking, nuts and oranges and a toy engine and chocolate almonds and a clockwork mouse, but the rabbit was quite the best of all. For at least 2 hours, the boys loved him, and the aunts and uncles came to dinner, and there was a great rustling of tissue paper and unwrapping of parcels. And in the excitement of looking at all the new presents, the Velveteen Rabbit was forgotten. For a long time, he lived in the toy cupboard or on the nursery floor, and no one thought very much about him. He was naturally shy, and being only made of velveteen, some of the more expensive toys quite snubbed him. The mechanical toys were very superior and looked down upon everyone else. They were full of modern ideas and pretended they were real. The model boat, who had lived through two seasons and lost most of his paint, caught the tone from them and never missed an opportunity of referring to his rigging in technical terms. The rabbit could not claim to be a model of anything, for he didn't know that real rabbits existed. He thought they were all stuffed with sawdust like himself, and he understood that sawdust was quite out of date and should never be mentioned in modern circles. Even Timothy, the jointed wooden lion, who should have had broader views, put on airs and pretended he was connected with government. Between them all, the poor little rabbit was made to feel himself very insignificant and commonplace, and the only person who was kind to him at all was the skin horse. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath, and most of the hairs in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger, and by break their mainsprings and pass away. And he knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you in a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand." "I suppose you are real," said the rabbit. And then he wished he'd not said it, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. "The boy's uncle made me real," he said. "That was a great many years ago. But once you are real and you can't become unreal again, it lasts for always."
Thank you, Marcia. I skipped right over our chalice lighting in our order of service, but we have it lit now, and we light it for all the animals that have been mentioned today, including some that have continued to come in the chat, of Barney the St. Bernard, Dexter and Leo the dog, Snails, Blue, the Betta, two goldfish and cloudfish, and more. I light our chalice invoking the animals of fire and light, the fire salamander, the electric eel, the lightning bug, the legendary thunderbird. We give thanks for all living things. Thank you to Ken Langer for playing for our offering today. Our plate is shared this month with the Boston Area Gleaners, and checks can be made to First Parish Church and mailed to the church or to our PO box, both of which are in your orders of service, or you can give by pressing the donate link at the bottom of our website, or by text, and that number is also in your order of service. One of our members told me this week, they pointed out that when that they had done this, that when you go and give online, you can set it up as a recurring. So if you don't want to have to worry about it every week when you're in worship, and you just want to set it up to give the amount that you would normally give when you're here in the service every week, you can do that and just put in the comment box plate sharing, and then we'll know that it's for that. For all these gifts that help us through this time and help keep our church operational, we are very grateful. And now, Ken Langer.
On a sleepy, endless ocean, when the world lay in a dream, there was rhythm in the splash and roll, but not a voice to sing. So the moon fell on the breakers, and the morning warmed the waves, till a single cell did jump and hum for those to say, this is my home, this is my only home. This is the only sacred ground that I have ever known. Should I stray in the dark night all alone? Rock me, goddess, in the gentle arms of Eden. Then the day shone bright and rounder, till the one turned into two, and the two into 10,000 things, and old things into new. And on some virgin beachhead, one lonesome critter crawled, and he looked about and shouted out in his most astonished drawl, this is my home, this is my only home, this is the only sacred ground that I have ever known. Should I stray in the dark night all alone, rock me, goddess, in the gentle arms of Eden. The sky was all a-buzzin', and the ground was carpet green, and the wary children of the woods went dancing in between. And the people sang rejoicing, when the fields were glad with grain, this song of celebration from their cities on the plain. This is my home, this is my only home, this is the only sacred ground that I have ever known. Should I stray in the dark night all alone, rock me, goddess, in the gentle arms of Eden. Now there's smoke across the harbor, and there's factories on the shore, and the world is ill with greed and will and enterprise of war. But I will lay down my burdens in the cradle of your grace, and the shining beaches of your love, the sea of your embrace. This is my home, this is my only home, this is the only sacred ground that I have ever known. Should I stray in the dark night all alone, rock me, goddess, in the gentle arms of Eden. Rock me, goddess, in the gentle arms of Eden.
Thank you, Ken. Sometimes when one holds an animal blessing, people might ask, what does it mean to bless the animals? Do animals have souls? Do they go to heaven or hell? And so now in Unitarian Universalist circles, that the answer to those questions are pretty complicated, because we don't all agree that humans have souls, and we don't all agree that people go to heaven or hell. And I know that particularly from the death and desserts discussion that we held back in March, sans dessert, and our answers to that question of what happens after we die varied wildly. So about animals, classical philosophy and Christian thought, Christian theology, have taught us to think about human, non-human animals as separate from the human animals, as below us even, that Adam and Eve were given dominion over the garden, or in Alexander Pope's words that there's a great chain of being with humans and then God at the top and animals down below us. Even our language has taught us to separate ourselves from animals. When we say animal, we often don't include people in that category, or at least many of us don't. We use the term animal to refer to a human who is violent or uncontrolled. And we use the term humanity or humane to refer to just the opposite, a collection of moral behaviors. So what if when I said you should be in touch with your animal nature, I meant not that you should go with your gut instinct, but rather something like you should be in touch with your humanity, with your love and compassion. On the other hand, there are some religions like Hinduism that believe in reincarnation, and souls and animals and souls and humans are very much the same thing. We could be animals in a past life or in a future one. I think the question of the souls of animals is an area where science and religion meet, actually. It's a religious or philosophical question, but it's answered by science in lots of ways. Because I think what we mean by soul is actually a cluster of concepts. So instead of that question, maybe we break it down to say, are animals really different from people? The UU minister Gary Kowalski, in his book, The Souls of Animals, breaks down the question into these smaller questions. Are animals afraid of death? Do animals have a sense of the mysterious? Why do birds sing? Why do animals draw? Do animals know right from wrong? Do animals experience love? Why do whooping cranes dance? Are animals conscious of themselves? And lastly, would we lose our own souls in a world without animals? I'm going to ask a smaller set of questions. Do non-human animals think? Do they have morality and emotions? Do they have concepts of larger things like art or spirituality? So probably the first distinction that people make in making a difference between humans and animals and denying personhood or soul has to do with intellect. The question of intelligence and the examples of language use, tool use, and problem solving are all parts of this. Like animals do all these things, and I'm going to give us some examples. Maybe we've heard about Coco the gorilla. Coco famously learned sign language and had a vocabulary of more than 500 words. So animals can use words. Dolphins can follow sign commands. You know, even your dogs can understand when you give commands and follow them. And so they do have an understanding of language. The Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig has a border collie, or has studied a border collie named Rico, who learns words as quickly as a toddler. And Irene Pepperberg has done studies with her parrot Alex, who can talk and who knows the relationship between words and objects, but also between words and concepts like shape or color, and can answer questions like, what is the difference between two things? Alex Kaslinick of Oxford University has done experience with particular crows, a particular variety of crows, and they can make and use simple tools. So like if a crow comes to a hole that has some food down in it and they can't get their beak down there, they know how to pick up a stick and use it to dig and pop the food out for them. So that's a tool. Even animals with brains the size of walnuts can do things that we thought were only reserved for humans. But dolphins, on the other side of the cognition ability, can do truly amazing things. A psychologist named Lewis Herman and his team taught two dolphins a bunch of words through hand and arm signs and made up a sign for them to create their own thing. So they not only could follow signs that said, you know, jump or push the ball, but they could do something where you'd say, make up your own creative action, and they would do that. An article in National Geographic explains more. Dolphins, it says, often synchronize their movements in the wild, such as leaping and diving side by side, and scientists don't know what signal they use to stay coordinated like that. Herman thought he might be able to tease out the technique with his pupils, and in his film, Ekakame and Phoenix are asked to create a trick to do it and do it together. The two dolphins swim away from the side of the pool, circle together underwater for about 10 seconds, and then together, perfectly synchronized, leap out of the water, spinning clockwise on their long axis and squirting water from their mouths. Every maneuver done at the same instant, communicated perfectly from them. None of this was trained, Herman says, and it looks to us absolutely mysterious. We don't know how they do it. I would say this is an example not of animals doing tricks where we can condescendingly look down and say, oh, isn't that cute? It's an example of persons creating together. Herman says he refers to the dolphins as his colleagues because it's the most fitting term. So that brings us to the next question, morality and emotions. Franz De Waal in his TED Talk tells us that animals do have morality and emotions. Chimpanzees make up after a fight, hugging each other and doing some other things too. Citing the pillars of morality are reciprocity and compassion, he gives examples. Of reciprocity, he shows chimpanzees where one helps another in a task that results in food. So they both have to pull on ropes to pull a big tray towards them, and one chimpanzee gets the food. He's not interested in food or the task anymore, but when the other chimpanzee asks him to do it again so that he can get food, the chimpanzee will still help so that with the spirit of reciprocity, his companion can get food also. Or another example where one chimpanzee is upset and he's just yelling because he has lost a fight. Another chimpanzee comes up and puts his arm around him. And we know that we see this as pet owners. People who have pets see this in our pets sometimes, right? Dogs will come up and put their head on your lap and just be with you when you're upset. So that's an understanding of emotion. Do non-human animals have a sense of larger concepts like art or spirituality? Well, we have numerous examples of animals that create art, but Jane Goodall says the chimpanzees will dance when it rains or when they come to a waterfall. Ronald K. Siegel says that elephants will wave branches at the waxing moon, and they do different things in different phases of the moon. So like in the full moon, they'll take baths together. And they also, elephants will bury their dead, piling them up with fruit and flowers and other plants. Every example that we could put forward saying that animals are different than humans in some way, there is an example of animals that do that kind of behavior at some level. So Kowalski's last question was, would we lose our souls, our own souls, in a world without animals? And for that, given who I am, I cannot help turning to an example from science fiction. So in the classic story, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which became the movie Blade Runner, they give us an example of how they would test people to tell the androids from the people. And the key difference in this between the robots and the people was how they responded to animals. Humans would instinctively react negatively when animals were in pain, for example. Now, this is a fictional example, and maybe androids could be a creature as well that could understand emotions and understand animals. But I think the point of it is that our relationship to animals as humans, our relationships to our pets who live beside us and eat the food we eat sometimes, how we relate to all animals shows us something about our humanness. It shows us that we too are not that different. I come to the conclusion that whatever the soul is, if there is a soul, if people have it, non-human animals share that too, as they do in all of creation. Our final principle in the Unitarian Universalist Association is respect for the interdependent web of which we are a part. And respect for the interdependent web means respecting each form of life from the top of the chain, that great chain of being, to the very bottom. And to not see it as a chain with a top and a bottom at all. if one sees animals as having souls or having personhood, if one looks into the eyes of the wolf or the chimp and sees there a spark, a measure of what we see in the mirror, then respect means something differently. One way we measure intelligence is an animal's ability to look in the mirror and recognize itself. A child reaches a point in its development when it looks in the mirror and then it will touch its own face. An elephant does too. But we must reach a point in our development as humans when we look in the eyes of the elephant and touch our own face and know that we are linked together in the interdependent web. May it be so. We are the same. Our words for prayer this morning or meditation are titled Prayer by Lisa Colt. May we reveal our abundance without shame. May we peel back our sleeping wintry layers like snake skins, like the silk chrysalis. May we settle into our own rhythm as tides do with the borders of the moon's calling. May the music of our souls be accompanied by grand gestures and the persistent clapping of hummingbird wings. May the milky fingers of the moon reach down nightly to cherish us. May we turn our bodies generously in its light like the tranquil fish glinting underwater, like precious stones. When we open our mouths to sing, may the seasons pause in their journey to listen and applaud. Blessed be, and amen. Once again, thank you to the Yucatarians for being our musicians for our hymns this morning. This is All God's Critters.
And a quick special thanks to Sue and Emily and Pat, who made our initial recordings of these so that everybody else could play along. You may or may not know that it's not possible to make a synchronous recording from multiple locations over Zoom. So whenever you see multiple people on TV on a Zoom recording in some way, they always record it first. It's never live. So thank you to the people who put in extra time. Here we go. Sing along.
God's creatures got a place in the heart. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud, some sing low, some sing out loud, 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 some sing
a patch of blue water to sail upon, and a whale on the horizon to set them dreaming. Please join in our sung benediction. Job this week, Sanghee. I love that jazz. Thank you all for joining us for Zoom worship today here at FPC. And we're now going to go into our breakout rooms for coffee hour. And I'm going to invite anyone who wants to remain in the main room to do so if you would like to discuss the climate change task force's proposal that we're going to be voting on at our annual meeting this year about committing the church to a path that puts us towards net zero. So if you want to join that discussion, just stay in the main room and don't go into the breakout room when it offers you the option. And now cars in the parking lot, give a honk. Don't scare the dogs though. Thank you for being with us here and the radio as well. And thank you everyone for joining. And our breakout rooms will begin momentarily.